was last week I wasn't here. Was it last week that I wasn't here? Okay, so we skipped a week. We were in Numbers. We're still in Numbers. Probably will be for a week or two. That happens. Another month. So open your Bibles to the book of Numbers. Prison?
Yeah.
I have to look at my... I don't have it on my phone.
That's fine.
I have it at home. I have to go online and download the Rock of Ages. I think there's one in April. And I think that one is Benner Township, I think. And then May, I think it's May, is some, the Frackville, Mahanoy. I think they're back to back. It's like one's the beginning of the week and one is the end of the next week, into the following week. So I have to look at it again and I'll confirm that and let you know. I thought I'd put it on my calendar, but I didn't.
Me.
Well, I know I wrote them down somewhere, but... I thought I'd put them on my phone, but I was wrong. So that's with Rock of Ages, though. Pray, speaking of that, don't know what the Lord's will is here. Chaplain Zeisert up at Mahanoy is retiring March 7th is his last day. Chaplain Zeisert's the head chaplain, the state chaplain for the prison. So Chaplain Dobbs, who's the black chaplain that we worked through last Sunday, more than likely, he's a contractor chaplain. He works through Jubilee Ministries out of Lancaster, which is the manpower center for chaplains in the state of Pennsylvania, I guess. So they're called Jubilee Ministries. Anyhow, more than likely, Chaplain Dobbs will be offered that head chaplain position at Mahanoy. I don't know. I'm going to find out because both Zeisert and Chaplain Dodds both recommended that I would go and contact Jubilee Ministries.
The one out here at, I can't think of the one over off the other one close to here. I can't think of the prison.
Grandford?
What was it?
Grandford?
Grandford, yeah. They were paying 65,000.
Right. So, I mean, I'm going to look into it. If nothing else, it maybe could just be a fill-in chaplain.
Sure.
You know, as Chaplain Dobbs, I'm sure, takes that head position till they find another chaplain to fill in. If I could help out, maybe get paid. That wouldn't be a bad idea either.
They have a similar thing for hospitals, too.
Right.
They're a third-party organization because I thought about Lehigh for mm-hmm. a while, but they want you to sign too much stupidity.
Right, exactly. And you are bound by regulations and rules once you're in the system, you know, things you say and can't say and stuff. So just pray the Lord give me direction if that's something he wants me to do, or for just continue to be as a volunteer basis. So, I mean, I have no problem being a volunteer and helping out, but if the Lord wants it to work out, I'll do that. But but that would probably, at least in the help Chaplain Dobbs over the next month or so till they find someone to replace his position. So anyway, that kind of has nothing to do with Sunday school, just a prayer request, if you would, for me. Numbers, the book of Numbers. I think we, 2 weeks ago, had just kind of scratched the surface of starting into the book of Numbers. Numbers is, I think I had talked about saved to serve. I read this paragraph here about General William Booth. So the author of Numbers, obviously, is Moses. You can find that in chapter 11, verse 17. We won't turn there, but Moses is the author of the book of Numbers. the key verse is Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10, we'll turn there. Look at verse 29. There's actually two, and anybody can have a key verse. These are just the ones that we're going to look at, you know. But Numbers chapter 10, verse 29, it says, "And Moses said unto Hobab," good old Hobab, "the son of Raguel, the raghead, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law," see, it's true, I didn't make that up, "we are journeying unto a place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, and the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel." The key thought here is the Lord is giving it to them. It's, "I will give it you." The Lord is going to take care of them. Look in chapter 33, Numbers 33. We've seen this chapter once or twice. Numbers chapter 33, look at verse 1. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. So Numbers is a book of wanderings, a book of work. The Israelites had their work cut out for them. Obviously, we see in the transition from Egypt to the promised land, Israel sinned, which all of the people that were alive, 20 or years old, I don't remember the number, and older, weren't going to enter the promised land because of their sin. So for 40 years, which is what the length of time that the book of Numbers covers, and we talk about Leviticus covering such a short period of time, the book of Numbers spans 40 years. And again, as we had looked at, I think it was a Wednesday night or maybe a Sunday night service one time about numerics in the Bible, and 40, you'll see many times over, is a number of associated with testing. So the children of Israel were tested for 40 years, and of course, they didn't make it. Those who were old enough didn't make that test and failed it and therefore died in the wilderness, which is what we don't want to do as God's people. We don't want to die in the wilderness. You know, we are not in Egypt, hopefully, anymore. We haven't made it to the promised land. We don't want to die in the wilderness. You know, we want to make it through.
I just have to think about this. Mm-hmm. But someone figured it up one time, how many people went into the wilderness, how old they were, how many people. And it was interesting because they had something like 16 funerals every single day.
Wow.
That's how many people died every single day.
Wow.
All those years goes out.
Like, to make it all those pass away, sure.
Yeah, like 16 funerals a day. That may be incorrect, but it was.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't even think to look that up, but yeah, he got good at it. I don't know what would they have done with all the bodies. I mean, I guess buried them in the sand. I don't know. I guess so. I don't know. Kind of an interesting thought. Wouldn't be hard to dig. Sand isn't too hard to dig, but burn them. They might have. I don't know. That's not that this has anything to do with anything, but you know how that goes. I was watching a thing on Discovery Channel once where they were trying to locate Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the process, they found all these, yes, and bodies, and, you know, why were they here? Well, we know, 16 a day, we just found out. But anyhow, just kind of a weird thing. So we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get here, and we'll dive into Numbers here. I'd like to get the Lord involved and help us out. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of His shed blood. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we have a place that's called by your name, that's called and set apart from this world. Place, Lord, where we can just let the cares of the world behind, toss aside those things, that those burdens and those cares of this world, and just sit down and listen to what you have for us to get that balm of Gilead that we need and that exhortation and encouragement. Father, we just pray that you'd be with the service, be with the pastor as he brings forth the message. Each and every person here, that we'd be attentive and get what we need out of it. Lord, I pray that you bring some visitors out this morning and fill this church according to your will and help us, Lord, to grow and, Lord, to do and obey your will and your what you would have for us. Pray you'd be with Angel and Julie this morning. Pray, God, that you would make a way for them to be able to come out to church and be part. Lord, it seemed like he was excited about it yesterday, and we thank you for it. Pray, guide and direct. Pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Numbers, a book of wandering. And we saw when we went through the chapter 33, and I think I'll hit on that a little bit as we go through, all of the camps, quote unquote, that Israel set up as they went through the wilderness. And we saw when I went through that chapter, it was pretty revealing what those names meant and how many times we as Christians find ourselves in those same types of camps or in those same places in our life. Key thoughts. There's seven key thoughts I want to look at this morning about the book of Numbers. The number one would be the majesty and holiness and presence of God. Even in the wilderness, God is present with us. Of course, he says we never leave us nor forsake us. So it's kind of an obvious statement. But at the same time, there are things that we go through in life. And where's God? If you feel like you're alone or trying to go through it by yourself. But the fact of the matter is, God is with you. Look at Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. And there's several verses. If you went through, I think I typed in the capital I in the Bible search just through the book of Numbers, and there was over 300 and some occurrences where I was in there. Now, not all of those I's were God saying I. Some of them were Moses, and I didn't break them down. And I was lazy. I didn't count them all. So, but there was a vast majority of the I's that was God speaking. So here in Numbers chapter 3, look at verse 12. It says, "And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel." And you know who the I is. Look in verse 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn, and openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine." Look at verse 13. "Because all the firstborn are mine, for on that the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord." The Lord's in charge, and he will do what he wants done. He will accomplish. Amen. Look at verse 41 of the same chapter. "And thou shalt take the Levites for me. I am the Lord," in parentheses, just in case you forgot who he was.
Yeah, amen.
I am the Lord.
Yeah.
And I like how the am is in italics, you know, and how they like to throw the italics out of the Bible. Well, I, the Lord, well, that doesn't mean I am is who my God is. He is the great I am. So God is present with the children of Israel as they go through the wilderness. And the land by right as a gift, the second point, if you want to, the land was a gift to Israel from God by conquest. Look in Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. God gave them the land. God provided the way for them to inherit the land. Numbers chapter 33, verse 53 says, "And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants." Again, some nice italics words there, because if you took them out, the sentence wouldn't make any sense. So, "But and ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it." So God has given us that land. He dispossessed the inhabitants thereof. Amen. So when God says it's time to move out, he's going to move them out no matter what. God's in charge. So God took care of his people again. You see that here in the book of Numbers. So the third point, I guess you would say, of Numbers is it's a holy God and a holy people in a holy land. Look at Numbers chapter 15. I was reading this morning my Bible, and I found out, you know how people always say holy mackerel?
Yeah.
It's biblical. It's biblical. I found it this morning. I got to find it. I saved it so I could come back to it. Okay. I got to read it. "There dwelt men of Tyre also there." This is Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 16. "There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah." They were holy mackerel. Sold on the Sabbath. Fish. Right there.
Holy mackerel.
Holy mackerel. So it's biblical. You got to have a warped mind to think of these things. I don't know what it is. So anyway, Numbers chapter 15, verse 40. We're talking about holy God, holy people. That's why that came to mind. Numbers 15, verse 40. Oops, let me get there, wrong page. "That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." Of course, you got to read the whole chapter to understand what he was talking about there. But the fact of the matter is, just like the children of Israel, we too serve a holy God. He hasn't changed, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His expectations are the same for us as they have always been, and that is that his people are holy and that we should live holy lives. Not an easy thing to do. Obviously, this flesh is certainly weak. The spirit is willing. I think if we could shed away this flesh and part ways with this wicked influence of the world and everything around us, that we would indeed live holy lives because our spirit is willing. It's influence. We've been cut away. God said a circumcision without hands. That body and soul was cut asunder by this word of God, you know, that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That miraculous circumcision of the body and soul, and where our souls are no longer tied to our bodies, and therefore we have the ability to go to heaven. We've been resurrected into new life, if you will, where the unsaved are still bound by this soul. We are not. So if we could shed this flesh that's already been cut away, if we could get rid of it, certainly we would be a lot holier than we are. But this stinking flesh causes us to be very unholy at times. But God still demands it of us. Thank the Lord for forgiveness of sins. God is organized. I guess you'd say the fourth point in Numbers. I don't have a specific verse. You'd have to read through the whole book of Numbers. But God is organized. God says even of the New Testament church, let things be done decently and in order. God does not like chaos. He's not a God of chaos. That's one of Satan's tactics, is to invoke chaos and try to add confusion. He's the author of it. God is not. He's organized. He's black and white. It is right. This is wrong. There's no gray area with God. This is what his expectations are. If you don't meet them, this is the result. He's very plain. You see it all through the book of Numbers. But failure through discontent and disobedience. Here's where we have our problem. One of our problems is when we get complacent. We fail God because of our disobedience, but because of our discontent. You know, things aren't like yesterday. I come over and help Pastor Mood, you know, help with the angel, you know, was a minister to him, got him some lunch, had a good fellowship with him. It was a good time. I enjoyed it. He seemed like he enjoyed it. He called Dad last night, was all excited. Dad called me, you know. So I really believe, pray for him, he gets the job. I think that's one of the key things for him, is to be able to get some employment. And when we were going home, Whitetail Disposal, they had a sign, now hiring. I said, and it's only like 4 miles from his house. I said, you could potentially walk there. I said, there you go, Brother Angel. He said, what road are we on? I told him what road, and he made a note of it. So hopefully he'll contact him. But just pray he gets a job. I think it's going to be paramount for him. But anyhow, I did all these things. Then I'm on the way home, and I got hit with that storm, right? We're driving home, and it is belting it down like crazy. I'm driving down the highway, and Ben says, there's a stick. Wham! Hits a truck. Oh. I'm like, and you hear that thud. Poof. I'm like, the window, is it cracked? Is it busted? No, it probably hit the roof. I don't know what it hit, right? So then I'm going down the road some more, and I can't see anything. I'm with the way my eyes are anyhow, I don't know. But and it's pouring down rain. My wipers are going to town, and I could see this thing in the road coming down. And I said, there's a tree in the road. Sure enough. But you're going 40 mile an hour, 50 mile an hour with a trailer on the truck, and I'm blasting. And I'm like, I'm going to hit this tree in the middle of the road, and there's no way I'm going to stop. Thankfully, the oncoming cars kind of moved out of the way a little bit, and I got to go over into their lane. But it's still the whole way back the side of the truck. I'm like, praise God. You cannot get away with doing right. You just can't. You can't get away with doing wrong, but you can't get away with doing right either. Like, man, really? I'm going to get smashed on the way home. But you're right. I didn't smash. Nobody got hurt. And I couldn't even find a dent where the branch that hit my truck. I looked all over the truck. I'm like, where did this thing hit? It must have hit the windshield and bounced off and didn't break the windshield. I don't know how. I don't know how it happened. But anyhow, I'm just like, really? Anyhow. So it's just funny stuff. But look at Numbers chapter 16. Look at verse 31. This is failure through our discontent or our disobedience. And it came to pass, verse 31, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, and you could read the whole context. This is about the Korah and his family rising up, I guess you could say rebelling against authority. Verse 31, and he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. So God does have an accountability. You can say what you want to say. God's not going to hold your tongue. But you will give an account for those things that you speak. Dad had a man in his church here recently. I think he told you about it, the good old preacher friend. And gave him an opportunity to speak his mind to the church. Go for it. But you got to understand that by your words, you're going to be, by what you meet out, you're going to be met back with it. So you gave him enough rope to hang himself, and sure enough, the man hung himself. And, God does not, especially, man, there's one thing that I've been taught, burned into my head over the years. I don't care if the man is dead wrong. I never go against the Lord's anointed. David didn't even go against Saul. If the man is in a pastoral position, if he's dead wrong, I disagree with him. I'll part company with him, but I will not condemn that man. I will not rise up against that man because I fear the Lord's anointed. You know, let God deal with that man. And one thing you don't want to do is ever, with this, get yourself in trouble against the man of God. Just be careful, because here's an example of what happened. The earth swallowed, and they said, may it be some strange thing that these people die. I can't remember the words, but yeah, that was a little bit more than your average death.
Yeah.
He didn't keel over from a heart attack. Yeah. The earth swallowed him up. I would say that, yeah, that was a pretty good sign that God was not happy with what Korah and his family said.
Yeah.
So failure, we definitely want to watch the things we say and our actions, because it can result in catastrophic failure. There is a necessity, point six, to be watchful against unbelief and murmuring. Look at Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Look at verse 27. Well, I'll start in verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? Now, if you read the context and you read back through that, they weren't murmuring necessarily against God. They were murmuring against God's man. But the Lord said, how long am I going to put up with them murmuring against me? So again, watch what you say. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Because remember, they're murmuring because, oh, things aren't the way they used to be, and it's so horrible out here. And God's going, all right, I'll show you how horrible it's going to be. Here you go. So be careful about our unbelief and our murmurings, the things that we say. The Bible says to pour out your complaint to him. And it's fine when you're here.
Right.
You can pour out your complaint all you want to God, and he'll listen. Probably gets tired of it, but he'll listen.
Yeah.
But when you pour out this way, that's when it becomes murmuring. And that's why God says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, because it breaks down not just you, but the hearer also. So be watchful against that. And then finally here, the point seven I have is God's patience with provision for and protection of his redeemed people. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Yeah, I know it's a different book, but oh well, it still appertains to their situation. If you read chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, it's remembering what God did for them in the wilderness. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 4, says, should start in verse 1, but we'll just read verse 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years.
Yeah.
So for 40 years, even though the people that had sinned passed away, there was still a generation that God took care of, where their shoes didn't wear out and their clothing didn't wax old. And he said their feet didn't even swell. You try walking in a desert for 40 years, what are your feet going to look like? I would take that right now. That my feet didn't swell.
Yeah.
After a long day, you know, I got up yesterday and I exercised before I come over to help. And I got over and I'm like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. And I did kind of weight training yesterday morning when I was doing some, and I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. My shoulders are killing me. I would go for just, you know, I guess I'm 40 now, over 40, but 40 years without anything swelling.
Wow,
that would be a miracle, huh?
So
Numbers, some key thoughts there about the book of Numbers. God takes care of his people, but he does exact an accountability for our actions. God will, like we sing, take care of you. That is a great song. That is a great principle. It is true through and through. However, you will suffer for this. This is deceitful and desperately wicked.
Yes.
Who can know, right? Our heart, and because of the manifestations of our heart, that's what comes out of our mouth. So Proverbs chapter 4 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that's the problem. If we don't keep our heart, then this sins. And when this sins, those thoughts become actions. Those actions become habits. Those habits become our character. And so that's why we need to be careful of get it while it's little. Don't let it manifest itself.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm preaching at myself as well. That's why it's foolishness of preaching. So 40 years, the scope of Numbers is about 40 years covered, and you can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, or chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 34. Look at Numbers chapter 32. Look at verse 13. I think we already read this verse, but we'll just, this is one of the references. Numbers 32, verse 13 says, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them to wander in the wilderness 40 years until the generation that had done evil in his sight was consumed. And you kind of think about that. All they did was say, oh, we're afraid of the people that are too large for us. That's all that they said something. And God called that evil in his sight. That's kind of a scary thought that our mouth obviously can be evil.
Jeff, yes, sir. It was more than I thought. It was 136 people every day.
Every day were dead.
136 people died every day.
Because all they did was say, they are too big for us, too numerous for us. They dwell within walls. That's all they said. And God said they were evil and killed 136 a day. That's a lot of funerals. Amen. And they weren't all old because it was from 20 years and up. And that's at the oldest, that 20-year-old was 60 at the end of it. So God does require that with what comes out of our mouth. So 40, again, we talked about that being a time, a number associated with testing and trials, which is obvious. When it comes to Hebrews, it is to find that God forgets these wasted years. Look in Hebrews of chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is kind of neat. Of course, everything in the Bible to me is neat, but some of them is kind of like I try to glaze over because it brings too much conviction, but we won't talk about them. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 29. The Bible says, by faith, they, being the children of Israel, this is the history of the children of Israel in a synopsis here, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. So here, where we just left Egypt, God got us through the Red Sea, part of the Red Sea, and poof, we made it through. The very next verse, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down and were compassed about 7 days. What happened to those 40 years in the wilderness? God doesn't even mention them in Hebrews. God forgot about them. They were wasted years. And for us, they can be too. This time of testing and trial that we're in the wilderness, if we don't take advantage of it and do only what's done for Christ will last, only one life will soon be passed. We know the saying, those will be wasted years. And we'll stand before God and he'll say, what have you done?
Right.
And we'll say, I wish I had given him more.
Right.
But it'll be too late then. So just a very interesting how God just skipped 40 years of the children of Israel and those 136 people that died a day. Didn't even mention them. They didn't even make Hebrews chapter 11. It was an afterthought. It wasn't even an afterthought. It just didn't even get mentioned. So 40 years of wandering, just forgotten. But the Bible says, look in Hebrews chapter 10. This is the good part of that. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So thank God for his blood that cleanses us from all sin. Even when we do mess up here in the wilderness, we have 1 John 1:9 that we can confess our sins, and he will not remember our sins, our iniquities anymore. Hence is why I think there in Hebrews chapter 11, he didn't even mention it, because their sins and iniquities he will remember no more. So thank God for the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's Hebrews in the nutshell there. Genesis we had talked about, because just to kind of give you a comparison here with the Pentateuch as we're going through to keep it all tied together. In Genesis, we saw that creation and fall. We talked about that before. God created man. Man fell. So by divine choice. Then in Exodus, we saw that redemption. God redeemed them by the blood, the sacrificial lamb, the scapegoat. All we saw that Passover that was conducted for the first time after God sent the death angel and passed over the children of Israel. That's God's divine deliverance. Then in Leviticus, we saw how we should worship and fellowship the Lord. God set up the Levitical priesthood and how we, as saved in this generation, are made kings and priests. So it gives us that holiness aspect of how we are to conduct ourselves and how we're supposed to live our lives. So that's God's divine holiness. And then Numbers, we'll see as we go through here, it defines our service and our walk, how we're in this wilderness, because that's where we dwell. We're not in heaven yet, contrary to what some people might believe. And we're not in hell, contrary to what some people might believe. We're in the wilderness. We're not in Egypt anymore, thank God for that, but we're not in heaven. So we have a divine discipline. There's instructions and there's a way, like I said earlier, God has an order to his people, what he wants us to do, how we are to conduct ourselves, how we're supposed to walk in this present time. So the more you study this Bible and the more you compare these chapters, I mean, man could not assemble this book.
Right.
How do we lay out? I mean, this is, you got to think about what we're talking about here. This was Moses prior to Calvary. He wasn't looking forward to the cross.
Right.
Prior to all the, what we have is the complete Word of God. Moses didn't have that. He didn't even have the Torah. He was writing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? He didn't have the Bible to reference. He just wrote the history of Israel. But God orchestrated clear back then this same layout that we as New Testament Christians go through, living in sin, fall. You know, we're born into sin as the sparks fly upwards, the Bible says. Then we're redeemed by the blood, amen? Yeah. Then we get to walk in this life and we're supposed to have a divine walk and live holy. God set this up. Only God could have written this book, not man. Amen. So we don't have much time. I'll start on these. There's a lot of poetry. I'm not a big poetry kind of guy, but he mentions it. So I'll zip through these and you can read them on your own. How's that? Here's some poetry in the book of Numbers. I guess I should be a poet because David was, and he was a man after God's own heart, so maybe I should be a little more empathetic, but we're not. We're going to zip through it anyhow. So the priestly blessing, it covers, and it's, this is, you know what? We are going to take a little bit of time. Look at Numbers chapter 6, just because I want to read a note here. I made a note, so obviously I took the time. God must have laid something on my heart here, so we must look at it. Numbers chapter 6, look at verse 24. This is really neat because this manifests. Now, you got to remember, this is clear back in Numbers. This is well before Jesus Christ walked the earth. This is well before the Holy Ghost was given in John as to be our comforter. The only person they knew of the Trinity at this point was God the Father. That's who they worshiped. That's who Israel worshiped, was God the Father. There was no Jesus Christ. Now, he showed up, obviously, as the angel of the Lord. That's a whole other study. But they didn't know the Trinity.
Right.
They had no concept of it. Look at verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In these three verses, you see the Trinitarian, if that's what they call it, blessing of God given to the children of Israel. And I had a note here to look at Doc's note, and because this is interesting. I'll just read it because I can't say it better. It says, he will lift up his countenance upon thee, so you will feel he approves of you. He will give thee peace, which the world cannot give you. This blessing is not promised to one descendant of Muhammad or Ishmael, whoever breathed. It is not promised to Abraham. It is promised to the physical children of Israel, Reuben, Gad, Simeon, Levi, Naphtali, Judah, etc. God gave that blessing to them. He will shine his face upon thee so you will not be fooled by the angel of light. You know who the angel of light is? That's Satan. Okay, that's not God. But he tries to imitate. Pastor was talking about that yesterday with Angel, about how Satan is the great imitator. So he will get something very close so that it looks like it's the real thing. You would never accept, like he said, a dollar bill with Daffy Duck on it. But, you know, if it looks like the real thing, it's going to be close, just a little bit off. So Satan is a master imitator. So there's no wonder that there's a new King James version out there. So he will shine upon thee. So God's light will shine upon thee. So you won't be fooled by the angel of light. He will be gracious unto thee, so you will not fail and go to hell. Without God's grace, that's undeserved favor.
Right.
We don't deserve God's grace or his mercy, but because of that, we don't have to go to hell. So God, in those three verses, there, 24, 25, and 26, kind of breaks down God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God blesses thee as God the Father. Jesus Christ will make his face to shine upon thee because he came. He is the light of the world. If you read John 1:1 and read through the first chapter of John 1, you realize he's the light. It's Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh. And he will lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That inner peace that the Holy Ghost was given and delivered unto each one of us that accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. He dwells within us and gives us the peace that passeth all understanding. If you flip over real quick, this is not even in my notes. It's actually what we studied a little bit last night in Galatians chapter, please help me. Where was that we were looking at, Ben? Was it Galatians or Ephesians? Yes, Galatians 5:22. Thank you, Lord. I totally lost my train of thought. I didn't even know where I was going. You know how you'll never. I mean, when you preach behind a pulpit, you'll understand. You can't explain it. I told my wife that this morning, and it's weird. You do turn into another man. But look at verse 22. It says, "But the fruit that's singular of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Those are three inward working manifestations of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace is something that you yourself personally experience." Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness are three points that you express outwards. You're long-suffering with people. You're gentle. You're good to people. Those are manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. And the last three, faith, meekness, and temperance, those are three aspects that you show toward God that He sees, that He requires our faith for us to be meek. That doesn't mean to be weak. Meek is not weak. And temperance, to be temperate. Bible talks a lot about temperance, and it's not the temperance that the world humanistic people will try to put upon you, that we should all just put up with each other and have that's not what God talks about. God exacts judgment, but we should be temperate in our mannerism, and that's an aspect. So you got three that are inward, three that are outward, and three that are upward, fruit of the Spirit, and God works in numbers three. Three is perfect, and there's three sets of three, so you can't get any better than that. But that had nothing to do with numbers, but it came together there. So we'll close there. It's time has passed. Don't know how that happens so quickly, but it does. Amen. Brother Derek, will you close us in prayer? Amen.
Dear Heavenly